The gene editing technology CRISPR offers great promise to prevent disease, feed growing billions, and maybe even save vanishing species. It provides a way to cut out genes that you don't want and paste in the ones you do, quickly and in any living cell. But there are huge ethical and scientific challenges posed by the technology, not least the possibility of unforeseen side effects. So what are the current prospects for gene editing our way to better health? Dr. Sarah Howden from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and Professor Rachel Arkney from the University of Adelaide considered that question as part of a panel at the World Science Festival in Brisbane earlier this year. They're speaking here to Dr. Norman Swan.
The concept of gene editing and the ability to do it has been around for a while, but CRISPR is a game changer because it can be done a lot more rapid. Within the last 5 years, I would say, we literally just saw an absolute CRISPR explosion. So in the number of researchers that now use this technology to not just modify cells grown in a dish, but entire organisms from plants to fish to mice, even monkeys. And just last year, I believe the FDA approved clinical trials using CRISPR to treat human disease. I think it was thalassemia.
Yeah.
I expect many more in the not too distant future.
So the FDA is approving for single gene disorders, where there's a single gene, like in thalassemia, which is similar to sickle cell and it involves hemoglobin, but nobody's using it in multiple gene disorders yet, like diabetes or heart disease.
Not yet, no. Thalassemia is probably perhaps the most well-studied genetic disorder. We can actually take cells out, the blood cells out of the patient. We can do the gene therapy, the gene editing. We can do all the QC on those cells before we transplant them back into the patient.
Quality
a lot
control.
Easier to do that ex vivo, we call that, rather than in vivo in the whole body.
And in these animal models, Sarah, that's embryos that have been affected, had CRISPR on to change the genetic structure of the embryo?
Yeah, either. So in the egg or embryonic stem cells as well. We can generate mice, complete mice from an embryonic stem cell that's been modified. So, but at the single cell level, that is the key, so that it's passed on to all of the cells. A new area that I'm a bit more excited about is perhaps the generation of designer cells or new cells or synthetic cells that you wouldn't normally see in nature. And by that I mean, what if we could engineer a stem cell to make a nephron, for example, that filters blood 10 or 100 times more efficiently than a nephron in us?
So you could have your own mobile dialysis unit under your skin?
Yeah,
that means we need less nephrons, which addresses one of our issues at the moment, which is we can only make a small fraction of what is required. Or what about, and this is something that's already been explored by researchers in the field, is making a universal cell type, so an off-the-shelf stem cell that we can make organs from, that when we transplant them into patients, they won't elicit an immune response, so they're immunocompatible. I think these are real opportunities already. But even more so, because gene editing, this technology can be used to modify pretty much any living cell, I think I'm more excited to see it to combat probably more pressing issues than we face with human health, which is climate change and creating a more sustainable environment. So, for example, can we make trees that suck up carbon 100 times more efficiently than they currently do? Can we make better biofuels? And there's already a research effort into looking at these things, and I'm more excited and hopeful that it can be used in those sorts of areas.
So, Rachel, is there a role for the bioethicist here, apart from just getting in the way?
No, that's not what we try to do. What a bioethicist would usually sort of do in this domain is work with people at that transition from the laboratory setting into the clinical setting to think about when and why and how is this going to be ready to go into people, right? I mean, the main job of an ethicist, certainly in a clinical setting, is to make sure that patients or volunteers understand what they're getting into. They understand that it's not fully understood and that it is an experimental setting, particularly where they may well be incredibly desperate because they're very sick people in different ways. And this seems like an option, you know, to eliminate long-term dialysis or indeed to be able to live for some people.
Dr. Sarah Howden, Director of the Gene Editing Facility at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, and Bioethics Researcher Professor Rachel Ankeny from the University of Adelaide. And you can hear the rest of that panel discussion with Norman, 5:30 this afternoon on the Health Report, right here on RN, or of course anytime on the ABC Listen app.